Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Speaking of Southern California, baseball's winter meetings wrapped up in San Diego, and Dohyung Park covers the Twins for MLB.com and decided to spend another day in San Diego. You are a wise man.
I'm telling you, I've been going around asking people why they're not doing the same. And, it's actually Dan Hayes, one of the other Twins writers, that got the idea into my mind. And, you know, talking to some of the other writers, and they're just like, yeah, we're stupid. Why didn't we do that? Yeah, it's fantastic down here, obviously. One more day before I head back to somewhere with real weather.
Yeah, exactly. And winter is certainly settled in these parts, but always a good time to heat up the hot stove. And we should remind fans, Wednesday nights at 6, Chris Atterbury and the Hot Stove Show here on the home of the Twins News Talk, E3O, WCCO. Well, good to visit with you. This, once again, turned into the Scott Boras Show, signing more than $800 million worth of contracts for three guys.
Yeah, that's unimaginable to me. I was, after the night of the Gerrit Cole signing, actually, I was hanging around in the hotel lobby, hotel bar after the game, after everything had cleared, excuse me, and it's like 2 a.m. and Scott Boras is still down there with like the remnants of the Masters. I guess it was like a victory lap of some sort or something like that, but it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, an extraordinary contract. There was some thought that Cole would end up in Southern California, potentially the Angels, but ends up with the Yankees, and they write the huge check. So Gerrit Cole gets paid. And for these big-time guys, I know the game has changed a lot, particularly for the middle class, those guys that kind of sit in the middle. But the elite free agents, they still get big money.
Right, absolutely. And, I mean, the extent to which the money was big, obviously the record-setting deal for Steven Strasburg was a huge number when we first saw it at $245 million. And I think, you know, given that he and Gerrit Cole are both represented by Boras, you kind of figured that he was kind of setting the stage, setting the primer with that deal there before he dropped the $324 million bomb on us. But it's not just the top level right now, too. I mean, some of the deals that the guys in the middle class are getting right now, too. Kyle Gibson with the $30 million deal and Tanner Roark with, I think, what was $24 million. It's not necessarily the eye-popping $30 million a year that you're seeing in the top level. But especially after the stagnation of free agency last season, I think the pace of this is certainly heartening for fans to see and also a lot more fun on our end, too.
Yeah, and position player. Anthony Rendon gets some big money, and so the Angels were able to get a big money player, but they weren't able to get a pitcher, and there's still a lot of teams that covet pitching.
Right, and I mean the Twins obviously being one of them too. It was that kind of middle tier of pitching, lower high tier of pitching that I expected there to be a little bit more motion of here with the Madison Bumgarner, Hyunjin Ryu, and you might want to even throw Dallas Keuchel into that market. That teams that are interested in upgrading a starting pitcher like the White Sox, the Twins, the Angels, like you just mentioned, could dig a little deeper into. It does seem like especially with the top pitchers off the market now, the thing that's kind of smart for the Scott Boras and other agents there is now that Ryu, Bumgarner, and Keuchel are now the top starters on the market. Nobody's gone after. There's no Cole or Strasburg to go after anymore. So now the bidding evidently is going to drive up there too. And yeah, that's something like you said. The Angels hoping to be flashy here with still trying to take advantage of Mike Trout and a newly healthy Shohei Ohtani, and that sort of deal could be looking into. And that's something that we'll probably see play out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, certainly deep pockets for the Angels and their owner Arte Moreno. Dohyung Park joining us, covers the Twins for MLB.com. Wise man spending another day in San Diego. Maybe you could just hang out there for a couple of weeks. you thought of that?
You know, it's actually not as warm as you would think it would be here. I think especially at night. it's Southern California, so you would think that it would be, you know, t-shirts, shorts, beach time all the time. But I think it's like in the 50s or 60s. Or I haven't checked the weather, but it certainly feels that way. I'm going to have to throw on a sweater after I finish up this call.
All right. Well, you got to return to reality at some point. Let's get into the pitching a little bit. Let's start with Kyle Gibson. You brought up his deal with the Texas Rangers. Sent a nice note to Twins fans, thanking fans and the Twins for his time here. I'm a little bit surprised that they parted ways with Gibson, because in this day and age, a three-year, $28 million contract isn't huge money. Gibson had a really good 2018, got sick during the offseason, never really recovered in 2019. I know it was kind of in the tea leaves that he was going to move on, but what's your read on that and his move down to the Rangers?
So here's the way I see it, and this is something that is – kind of my general overarching philosophy of how I feel the Twins are approaching the offseason at least. So when you have a team like the Twins, they've broken through and they've obviously got all of the pieces of this legendary offense for 2019 still in place. So I think if you're the Minnesota Twins and you are chasing, not just chasing, you're in this window and you're trying to thrust this window of contention open wide, right? Yeah. You have your offense in place, but at the same time, you have to add to that. And I think any uncertainty that you have, any risk that you incur with the pieces that you are either retaining or adding to your roster, adds any risk that you introduce to possibly not being able to take advantage of that window is a negative. If you're the Twins right now, I think you're looking for a more sure thing. And that's why, for example, in Michael Pineda, a guy who came off the Tommy John surgery, started off a little shaky as he was kind of finding the feel for the fastball and slider again. And then down the second half, you saw it there. Big result. Same thing with Jake Odorizzi, arguably the most consistent guy through the season. I like that Kyle Gibson multi-year.
And Sano's even said, yeah, like our schedule's gotten a little bit more difficult. And he wasn't saying that as an excuse. He was just acknowledging it as a truth. They kind of got fat on some easy teams early in the year. And then, you know, they faced kind of a meatier part of the schedule here, and you know, you're probably going to lose to the Lakers, especially on the road. The Jazz are never an easy opponent, and they usually do give the Wolves a tough time. But yeah, they also lost games like two times to the Grizzlies, and then getting blown out by Phoenix. I mean, those are the types of performances that just don't look very good, and it's concerning on multiple fronts. Yeah, their defense has been horrible. They've been the worst defense in the league in December, where they haven't won a game yet this month. But Ryan Saunders even said, like, hey, we have a lot of room to grow on offense, too. Like, he doesn't think they've been very good on that end. He thinks the ball's sticking. They're not playing within their system. He doesn't think they're playing within their system on offense or defense, and it's only getting worse as the losing streak grows and guys try to do too much, and they kind of get out of the system and out of their own comfort zones, and then it just leads to even poorer play. So this is kind of – it's been a slippery slope right now for this team, and you look at opportunities to turn it around, and Friday certainly doesn't look like a good one with the Clippers coming to town.
Yeah, and I go back to that Grizzlies game, and it still sticks in my craw, because here's a team that came in with five wins on your home floor. It's a Sunday matinee. You know you're going on a pretty tough four-game road trip that includes Luka Doncic in Dallas, trip to Oklahoma City, and then, oh, by the way, you got to play in L.A. and Phoenix back-to-back. So the Wolves knew that. And they had an opportunity against Memphis, and they just flat out didn't show up that day. And I remember the opening quote in Ryan Saunders' post-game press conference, you know, very disappointing. And it almost seems like it set the stage for this six-game skid. They didn't bring it at all that day.
Yeah, and I really do think, and that was a Grizzlies team that didn't have Ja Morant, didn't have Jonas Valanciunas, so it's a very beat-up Grizzlies team. It was kind of like a B-squad for the Grizzlies, who already aren't a very great team. In Minnesota, yeah, they just didn't show up. They just brought a lackluster effort, kind of like they did when they lost to the Grizzlies in Memphis earlier this year. And it was a team that was the problem with the Wolves. When they were playing well, you could tell they were almost like feeling like they were playing well and starting to think they were better than they were. I think they've kind of come back to reality here with this losing streak. But, you know, that was kind of part of it. This early schedule was so easy that they had to take advantage. And, you know, they let games get away because, you know, it was almost like they didn't think they needed to respect every opponent. Like, they did not respect Memphis that day. They did not bring a great effort. They even acknowledged it afterwards. And it's like, this team is in no position to do that. And if you can't bring consistent effort, you know, every night, especially into your home floor, then you're going to have a tough time winning just about anywhere. And that did kind of start, you know, it got the ball rolling down this hill. And now here they are where they can't stop anybody. And, you know, the effort still doesn't look consistent, especially on the defensive end. It didn't last night either. And, you know, they're just in a bad spot right now. But you're right. I think that did kind of get the ball rolling and kind of set the tone for all of this.
Meanwhile, the LA Clippers come to town, the other team that plays in Staples Center, and they're pretty good too.
They're phenomenal. I would pick them right now as my number one team as far as winning the NBA title at the end of the season. You look at Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are two of the best wings in this game. They're also two of the best defenders in this game. Lou Williams is a perennial Sixth Man of the Year winner. Montrezl Harrell comes off the bench as well, and if Lou Williams didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, he would. And he's just phenomenal at what he does, kind of the gritty things down low, the pick-and-roll game, scoring at the hoop. Yeah, they have three guys in Lou Williams, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, who can get a bucket at any time they need. In the last 2 minutes of a game, those three guys can all take over. It's such a deep team. Pat Beverly's going to miss the game with a concussion, but he's just a gnat on the outside that makes things so difficult for perimeter players on the defensive end. They just have so much talent, so much length. They play such great defense. It's a great team to watch because they kind of play the game the right way, and they have a ton of talent as well on top of it. Doc Rivers has built a great thing in there with the Clippers, and with the talent they acquired this offseason, it's tough to see them losing 4 of 7 to anybody in the postseason. And it's a back-to-back, and Kawhi Leonard doesn't play both ends of the back-to-back. So we'll see whether he plays Friday at Target Center or Saturday in Chicago. He'll miss one of those almost certainly. But if Kawhi plays and the Clippers are at relatively full strength minus Beverly, that's going to be a tough task for the Wolves.
Yeah, and Jace, it's ultimately, though, about how the Timberwolves come out tomorrow night. Friday night, good team in town, star power, all of that. I think the Timberwolves have to show the home fans something, because remember, before this skid, they were 7-2 on the road and playing really well. They have not generally played well at Target Center.
Yeah, they've been really bad at home, and there was no real excuse for it. They were talking about how on the road maybe they were a little bit more united with the, you know, kind of us against the world mentality and spending time together, and it still didn't make any sense. You're supposed to do better at home. And now Target Center hasn't been rocking this year, and, you know, attendance, I think they're still kind of fighting the uphill battle. This team hasn't been very good in forever. But attendance isn't great, but the Wolves don't exactly give teams a reason to come watch them at home because they haven't performed very well there at all. And another thing, just like Ryan Saunders talks about it today, like, hey, wins and losses, they're going to come, and I just want to see us play well. You know, I think fans will appreciate it. Even, you know, say the Wolves take a hard-fought loss tomorrow night, but they bring effort and grit and, you know, pass the ball, share the ball on the offensive end, and are in the right spots defensively, and the Clippers just beat them. I think people can – you know, I think they can respect that a lot more than what the Wolves have shown recently. So, yeah, I do think it is a big night for the Wolves, and it's on national TV. And, you know, even the local fans are more likely to tune in, I think, when it's the Clippers. And, I don't know, just show something that shows that this thing is headed back in the right direction after this terrible stretch of play.
Yeah, and by the way, I misquoted earlier. It is a later start, 8 o'clock pregame. Tip at about 8:40 tomorrow night here on the home of the Timberwolves. News Talk 830 WCCO. I had my brain that it was a 7 o'clock start. That's wrong.
It was
a late. Yeah, they flexed it to the late game.
Right.
Yeah. And Jace, for Ryan Saunders, do you get any more sense that, I mean, it's still really early in the season, that he's frustrated, because this is a challenge for a young coach trying to figure out, you know, what to do, how to mix and match, how to motivate these guys to bring effort, at least to go out there and work hard for 48 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I think he keeps a relatively good mindset, but he also is in a spot where he wants to motivate these guys, and I think the frustration is obvious because that's going to be shown with everybody. He does seem to be more frustrated on games, you know, not necessarily the ones where they lose because they're the inferior team, but, you know, like you said, after that Memphis game, yeah, he was really frustrated there because his guys didn't deliver a great effort. And I think that's a really frustrating thing for a coach. But I think, you know, they kind of have to go back to step one. They're going to have to go back. They tried to install more things defensively and offensively, and the defensive stuff just hasn't taken hold. So they're going to have to kind of go back to square one there. I think he understands that that's kind of part of it, and there's going to be slippage during the season, but it's kind of frustrating where you're like, you know, it felt like early in the season they really had it, and he thought that they were grasping the concepts and executing them well. And when you see something that was good really backtrack, I think that's pretty frustrating from a coaching perspective. But, you know, I think he keeps a good attitude with the guys, and the players talk about that. You know, hey, like, Ryan's telling us this and this, and it's all the right messages. It's just kind of on them eventually, I think, to, I don't know, to kind of pick the things up and show it on the court.
Jake Layman was a surprise for this team early. Seems to bring something to this team. And is he going to come back anytime soon? What's the word?
Doesn't sound like it. Ryan Saunders was asked that today, and he just said he's still out and he'll be reevaluated soon. And Jake Layman's still in that boot. He's got that turf toe injury, and that's a tough one. You see football players miss weeks with it, and basketball players, you're constantly pushing off your foot. You're constantly cutting. And the fact that he's still in a boot, and now that all this time he'll have been in a boot, I think he'll have to condition probably when he comes back too. So I wouldn't be surprised if this maybe even trickles into the new year that he's out. And it's a huge loss for them because he was a very important wing player. He was playing like 30 minutes a game and playing really well. That's kind of been a setback. I think it has at least contributed to this floor play. Now, it's not an excuse. There are injuries all the time in the NBA, and you should respond better than the Wolves had. But and then you looked at Wednesday night, Kata Bates-Jopp, who's kind of stepped into that role for Lehman a little bit, played the majority of those minutes. He couldn't go because of flu-like symptoms. Now you look and the Wolves aren't that deep at wing anymore. And you're playing Travion Graham more minutes, and he's been struggling, and it's just not a good combo. So the longer Lehman's out, I think it is the worst for Minnesota, but I wouldn't expect him back anytime soon.
All right, Jay, it's always great. Thanks. Enjoy the golf.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Jay Frederick. Covers the Timberwolves for the Pioneer Press online at TwinCities.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.